Hey guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about life, we talk about what it means. Because the truth is, we think that we have time to say things, time to fix things, time to be present until something shifts and we realize how fragile it all really is. And sometimes in the middle of loss, God gives you a moment, a glimpse, a conversation, a reminder of what still matters. And those moments, they change you. So today we're talking about one of those moments. Today's guest is Dan Cohen. He's a son who experienced something most people never will, which was a moment of clarity with his father in the middle of dementia. So Dan, I'm super excited to have you on here. Thank you for being a willing participant in the hot seat. Today's question is I kind of launch everybody from the same place. Your question will be a little different today because this is it's a different journey. Tell us what happened and what is special about this situation.
And first of all, I'm excited to be on. I want to thank you for being on. It's interesting. I thought your first question might be, because the name of the book, what makes you special?
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily what makes me special. I think everybody is special in their own way. But we did, and maybe the special guy is my father and what we experienced with him. So
Yeah.
just as a background, in fact, it's 10 years today that my father passed away,
Wow.
interestingly enough.
Wow.
So my father was a very important presence in my life. He was my hero, my confidant, my problem solver, my go-to guy, and had a very big personality. And I think there's no statute of limitations on having that type of person in your life. I call it the one. In fact, I'll talk a little bit about. I wrote a book called Awakenings in Real Life. The last chapter is Who is Your One? It's the one person in life that has no ego when it comes to you and wants to see you succeed. Maybe could be a little different than a hero, but my father was that. So, my father, we made a surprise 75th birthday party for him, from my mother down to the youngest grandchild. We all got to tell him how we felt about him. But 5 months later, he had a stroke. He actually bled into his brain. And at the time, my brother is a physician. He was walking into his office. They knew exactly what the signs of a stroke was. And within 10 minutes, they had the bleeding in his brain stopped. But from that, he ended up with dementia over 10 plus years. I don't know if you personally have any experience with a family member or anybody that had Alzheimer's or dementia. So
Actually.
a lot of people have,
Yeah.
and a lot of people don't know the difference between Alzheimer's and dementias. Alzheimer's is plaque in the brain. Dementias is the symptoms, is where it affects you mentally and eventually physically. You could get dementia from a head injury or stroke like my father, from certain diseases or Alzheimer's. So dementia runs in stages, and they go from 1 to 7. I never got. My advice to people is don't worry so much about the stages, because you know what your loved one is, and that'll just give you angst. But what happened with my father is towards in 2015, in the summer of 2015, and he was in the late stages at this point. He wasn't really verbal, maybe said a word or two. He was incontinent. He needed help getting dressed. He just no short-term memory at all. And it's like mourning someone who's living, especially such a big presence in our lives. But he was hospitalized that summer, the summer of 2015, twice with pneumonia. And the second time they loaded him with steroids and antibiotics. And I came to visit him, and he said, "Hi, Danny," because that's what he called me. And I said, "Hi, Dad," because you know I love you very much. And I said, "I love you very much." And he said, "What happened to me?" And I said, "Well, you had pneumonia, you're in the hospital, and hopefully you'll get better." But then all of a sudden it dawned on me, this is not the same guy I saw a few days before. This really resembles the man I grew up with and the man I know. He never initiated a conversation like this.
Wow.
And I started to think about it, and I said, maybe when he was saying to me what happened to me. He was really saying, what happened to me these past 10 years?
Yeah, what happened to me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my brother, who was a physician, was there a lot too. He said that it was, I describe it as it being about 90% himself. My brother said the bar was so low that he came back so high. But what we experienced in those 2 days was really remarkable, and I'd love to share that with you.
Yeah, please.
So, a couple of things. At one point, my father says to my brother, I'm happy to have a son like you. So here's the interesting thing. I used to think, oh, there's nobody in the world that has the relationship I have with my father.
Yeah.
We're very similar. We're really in sync. We're so close. And then at that 75th birthday party, especially when I heard my brother and my sister talk to my father, I realized they felt the exact same way.
Yeah.
He had a beautiful way of making people, especially his children, feel that they were each special. So I also write a chapter in my book about perspectives, that if you could view, everybody sees our own life through our own lens.
Yeah.
But if you could see other people's perspectives, you'd have more empathy in life. So it was really remarkable to see that. But my brother said that this man who he worshiped too, when he came back and said, I'm happy to have a son like you, it was one of the seminal moments of his life. We were filling him in on the grandchildren and what the grandchildren were doing. And
Yeah.
one point he said, isn't the one of the grandchildren now in medical school, and didn't another one start an Ivy League school? And we said to him, yes. But then we realized that those events happened
While he
while
was
he
in
was in
the
the
hospital.
throes of dementia.
Yeah.
So how did he know that?
Yeah.
Because you couldn't tell from being around him. So I started to think that maybe people with dementia are more aware of what their surroundings are than what people think. So I think that's very encouraging.
Yeah. What is one of the things that he said that probably made the biggest impact? I mean, this has got to be crazy. You've got 2 days to fill him in on 10 years.
Yes. And I'll share the most impactful thing in a second, but
Okay.
he told my mother, and there's some, things that I find humorous too. He told my mother they were married 62 years at the time, that she was the love of his life.
Yeah.
So my father had certain quirks growing up. He would take a nap. He'd put a brown or a black sock across his eyes to shut out whatever light there
Yeah.
was. He's lying in the hospital bed, and he says to my mother, Arl, her name was Arlene, do you have my sock? I want to take a nap. This is
Wow.
what he tells her. And he was always a guy that went through life. He was pretty generous tipper. If you took care of him, that's how he showed his appreciation. So he says to my mother, he goes, do you have some cash? I want to tip the nurses and
Oh.
the aides. That was so nice to me. It's really remarkable. He reminisced about, he was a boxer in the army, 26 and 0, and he talked about how he surprised his opponents. He asked about his favorite football player, who was a New York Jet football player who was undersized and really made it. And he bought all the grandkids the jersey, and he remarked about the picture we all took.
Yeah.
What was really remarkable is I wanted to get my kids there because to see their grandpa the way he was. But unfortunately, they came towards the end of the second day, and he really had reverted back
Yeah.
to where he was. But we videotaped some of him. So my daughter in particular was pretty emotional. And we showed her the videotape where my brother asked him, what are you happy about? And he said, I'm happy just to be here and alive.
Yeah.
And that was a really remarkable moment for me and the family, because I think he was saying that that even in the dementia, he still appreciated life and wanted to live. But then I thought about, boy, that's a really profound message. And I decided I wanted to share his story. So he lasted another 8 months. So this wasn't, there's something called terminal lucidity where people,
Right.
have moments of waking before they die. This was 8 months before. And I forget, let me share this story. I wrote an article on Medium. And it has over 300,000 views today because I just wanted to share the story. But there were so many people in similar circumstances that said, wow, thank you for sharing that heartfelt story. Or, you know, it really gives me hope that maybe my family member still appreciates life and wants to live. So that was very heartwarming to me. So that article was great. And I wrote it 10 years ago. And I've been an entrepreneur and a businessman my whole life. And after my last consulting gig, I said, you know what? I like to write. Let me see if I can take this story and turn it into a book. So I wanted to call it Awakenings in Real Life, like the article. And I said, I got a lot of great family stories with my father. But I said to myself, do people really want to hear your own family stories? You know, and that story, the story of his awakening is really not enough to for a whole book. So I actually did some research, and I found an editor, and they were terrific. And they said to me, you know, when you're reflecting upon all your other family stories, they're all tied together. Why are you reflecting on it? And you know, when I thought about it, is that each of those stories was almost like something I learned. I talk about it almost like a mini awakening in my life. And I could share those stories too. So a lot of them are about my father. One is about a beloved uncle, another one about my mother. It's more about my father, but I share a story about how my uncle always showed up no matter where we were. He picked us up at the airport 2 in the morning. Or I share a story of how small acts of kindness are, are important. Regarding the dementia journey, I shared the things that I learned. You know, I'm not an expert in dementia. I don't claim to be an expert. Things I learned, and maybe I could share with your audience if they're going through it, is acceptance and inclusion. So, you know, a person with dementia often will repeat the same thing. They'll ask the same questions over and over. And it can get very frustrating as a family member or a caregiver. You got to accept them from where they're at, because if you don't, it's gonna not be good for them. And it's not going to be good for you. And you got to give yourself some grace, and also to the fact that you're not going to be perfect all the time. Sometimes you need to understand that you might get frustrated. So I tell a story in the book where my mother was going away, and myself and my brother and sister were watching my father overnight. And we all did something with him. And the next time we were together, we said, "What did you do with Dad?" And I said, "I took him to a movie." My brother says, "Oh, we took him to a movie." And my sister says, "We took him to a movie. What did you see?" So I said, "Oh, I took him to," at the time it was Argo with Ben Affleck. And my brother says, "Oh, we took him to Argo with
So
Ben
funny.
Affleck." And then my sister says, "Yup, Argo with Ben Affleck." And we had the greatest laugh. But I got to tell you something, I felt bad afterwards because we weren't really, if we accepted him from who he was, no matter that fact that he forgot from 5 minutes afterwards, we would have taken him to different movies. I was in a support group and someone said, "Isn't it great that a person with Alzheimer's or dementia is in their own world?" I said, "That makes sense, but I don't want them to be their own world, you know?" So my other advice is include them. Include them in what you do in life. So I lived about 2 hours away. I came in once a week or every other week. I try to take them to a movie and lunch every time. And I knew that 5 minutes after the movie, he might not remember it. But sometimes in the movie, especially if it was a sad movie, you could see tears in his eyes. And that was very, very important to me. And I think it was important to him too. And I can share another story if you want about
Please.
acceptance. So I got to go a little back. My father liked to go to horse racing. Not the one where the jockey, but there's another type where It's called Trotters, where they're on a cart and they lead a horse. And there was one by my house. And he took me as a kid, and it was always fun. And then when my kids were little, he would take them. So before my son started first grade, we went to the track. My daughter was too little to go. My father had a big day, won a lot of races. And he says to my son, he says, "Let's go to the toy store. I'll get whatever you want." Goes to the toy store, buys a $100 Lego. My son is in heaven, right? Monday starts first grade. Believe it or not, the teacher says to all the kids, "What would you do if you had $100?" My son says, "I'd go to Freehold Raceway." That's a true story.
That's funny.
Yeah. So I told my father the story. He says, "Let's go back next week." I said, "We never go back 2 weeks in a row." We went back, didn't win a race. I said, "Dad, I'm sorry you didn't win a race." He winks at me and he says to my son, "Remember, when you go to the track, expect to lose." 10 years later, my son's 15th, we're at his 75th birthday party. My son says, "Grandpa, I know you like to go to the casino occasionally and play poker. Remember one thing, expect to lose." So that was his message.
That's funny.
Flash forward, this is the year, within a year of him passing, out of nowhere, he says to me, "Let's go to the track." I knew 3 seconds later he'd forget, he wouldn't knew. But I said, "You know what? I'm going to take him." So my mother really wasn't driving at that point. I would have to go 2 hours to pick him up and 2 hours to go back. And he was a pretty good handicapper over the years. It was usually one race. He felt pretty confident. I would say he would win 6 or 7 out of 10 times that we went. So we get there. It's funny because I had another way of marking his dementia over the years. It was how well or not he read the race form. So over the years, he would circle less and less things. I think the prior time he could only know the odds. This time he really didn't know anything. We said, "Dad, who do you want in the first race?" He says, "The number 7 horse." My mother, who really she would read, she picked up her head and goes, "The 7 horse, that's the longest shot in the race. He doesn't know what he's talking about." My son says, "Grandma, when grandpa picks a horse, that's the horse that's going to win." And I said, "Mom, that's a good handicapper." So we put a few more dollars on that horse. The race goes off. Our horse is in last place the whole way. Right at the end, down the stretch, horse came out of nowhere and won by a nose. My father had no reaction to that. But my grandson said to him, "Grandpa, the horse you picked, the longest horse in the race, won." And the biggest smile came to his face. That's a memory that we cherish. In fact, my son told that story as part of his eulogy. It's something we remember because we included him in that situation. So,
Well, I think including him has been, I mean, it is important because you also had that glimpse of that whisper of what if he really is present somewhere in there, like really who he is. So I think that, I mean, that's an incredible life experience if you could give him that gift to, you're kind of humanizing something that, you know, people really detach from, right? It's the long goodbye. What does that really feel like for you to just, you know, be with someone that is physically here, but like you're losing pieces of them every single time?
yeah, it's very difficult. And I think it's difficult for anybody, but especially since he was such a big, important presence in my life. I remember during COVID saying to my friend, and he had passed away 4 years early, "Wow, I wish my father was here to discuss what I'm going through." And my friend said, "You know, we are our fathers. We've experienced a lifetime of learning things. We have children." And I said, "Yeah, that makes sense, but I don't think you ever miss or stop needing that person." So to see them deteriorate over time, it's heartbreaking. It really is. But again, you got to try to stay in the moment and appreciate because, towards the end, he still knew us most of the time. Sometimes he didn't. And I think that would have been the toughest thing. You know, a lot of people experience that, although they have moments of clarity. But that's why I try to include him in things. That's why, I didn't want him just sitting there. But the essence of who he was always there for me. So even in the very end, I'd come to visit, he would just hold and kiss my hand. And, that meant the world to me. A doctor colleague I knew, and my brother, although he wasn't his doctor, his practice was really, my father would have his blood checked. If he was dehydrated, we'd give him fluids. I credit for my brother for really keeping him alive so long. But this doctor said to me, "What is your brother doing? I mean, it's not your father. It's not Herbie no more." And he's right. But you know what? Nobody has a right to say the alternative is worse, not having them there at all. So having him there in his presence and his love meant the world. But it's a very, very difficult thing to go through. And it's not only dementia, it's Alzheimer's, it's people with mental disease. It could be people going through physical disability, cancer, and other things. And what I try to do in the book was I put at the end of each chapter a reflection page. I wanted to bring the reader into the story. So if I told a story about acceptance, right? I said, "When was there a time that you accepted your loved one and things were good? Or what was the time you included them in life? Or where was there a small act of kindness?" Because there are a lot of people going through a lot of things in life. And if you could share those experiences or express those experiences. Another thing that I learned that I'd love to share with you, I have a chapter called A Living Eulogy to My Father. So this is not directly related to the Alzheimer's dementias, but we've all been to funerals. I've been to funerals of my parents. A close friend passed away not too long ago. But a lot of times, I don't know the person who passed away, but I know the family member. And I sit there and I hear these eulogies, and whether I knew the person or not, it brings me to tears. And then I have a realization. I said, "Boy, the person who should be hearing this is the person who just
Who's
passed
gone?
away," right? We go through life telling, especially our loved ones, we love them or they're wonderful. Or you could tell a good friend the same thing. But how often do you in life really express all the things someone means about you? So my suggestion is while your person is still alive, and they don't have to be old. They could be a friend. They could be a neighbor. Share with them. Share with them write a note, do a video, do an email. It doesn't matter. Share with someone how you feel because you shouldn't have to be when you're up there and they pass away because that. And I had that opportunity. I wrote my parents a letter when I turned 40. Both on their both birthdays were 2 days away. And they said it was the greatest gift I gave
I
them. And
love
then
that.
at my father's 75th again, he got to hear all his family talk to him. And I think that was a great joy for him. So.
I think that's incredible. I think your family is amazing for sure. But that perspective for I do think that, words are lost on the people we've lost. Stuff should be said in real life, in real
Yeah.
time, when we're here. Those moments, because you didn't know how long your father was going to be coherent for those 2 days.
Right.
So I have kind of a two-part question. Like, why do you think that moment happened when it did? And do you guys have anything that was left unsaid to your father?
And those are great questions. So I struggle as to what, not struggle, so why did this happen? So my brother, the doctor, wanted to come up with a medical explanation, right? And at first, he theorized that the steroids, they gave him a lot of steroids, reduced inflammation of his brain, and somehow he came back to us. And I said to myself, this is a progressive downward disease. How can something reverse it? So 10 years later, I do a podcast too called Awakenings in Real Life, telling other
Nice.
people's awakening stories. I had my brother on. He did some research to say no, steroids actually can make it worse. He then theorized because pneumonia got better, it had to do with his dopamine levels and neurotransmitters. I don't know. I don't buy that. We spoke to my father's neurologist, said he never saw it in 30 years of practice. My brother spoke to colleagues, they never saw it too. So I'd say to myself, maybe it's a miracle. You know, and I'm not a very religious person, but to me that was as good an explanation as anything else.
Of course.
And then it's maybe my father sending a message to his family that he's a fighter and still wants to live. And I like that explanation because over the 10 years, there were times he was hospitalized. And my brother, who was the conduit, said, oh, his organs are failing. I'm not sure he's going to make it through the night. And miraculously, the next morning, he did it. And maybe he was sharing a message with us as that he wanted to live. And I share those things in the story. But I recently did a small book event, and a good friend of mine came to me, and he came up to me afterwards. And I thought this was really interesting. He says, you know why I think your father experienced what he did? So that someday you would share his story and you would be able to give hope to a lot of people in similar circumstances. And I think I like that explanation the best. I really do. Was there anything left unsaid with my father? So before I answer that directly, someone else said to me, you had this two-day window with your father. You know, you had the opportunity to ask him very important existential questions, the meaning of life. And you know what? We didn't. We didn't even think about it. You know, we just were
Just
so
in the
happy
moment,
to have him for who he was. We weren't thinking about the big meanings of it. But I do not feel like there was anything left unsaid. And he knew how I felt about him. He knew, I knew exactly how he felt about me. And I think he knew that of his family well. But like I mentioned you before, I know it's cliche, you know, because you never know what's going to happen in life.
Exactly.
Share your feelings with someone you love. And even if you think maybe it's awkward, you know what? Write it down then if you can't say it verbally to them, because people will really appreciate that more than the greatest gift you can give them. So, no, I don't feel anything was said and left. I think he gave us a great gift. He gave me almost like a second act because I was able to write the book. And then I was watching a TV report about a guy who had a spinal condition, and he decided, I'm going to give up my corporate life. I'm going to learn how to sail, and I'm going to sail across the Pacific. And I said, wow, this guy had his own awakening. I bet you there's a lot of people that have awakening stories, and maybe like you want to do what you're doing, sharing what makes people special. So I bet you there's a lot of stories out there. And I didn't know the first thing about podcasting, as you can, but I did. And I've shot some episodes, and I've had some remarkable stories of people overcoming illness and loss and near-death experiences. So it's given me almost like a second act that I'm enjoying so much.
Yeah, I love that. Dan, tell us where we can find your book and where we can find your podcast.
Thank you. So the book again, and I'm just showing it. It's
Yes.
called Awakenings in Real Life. You could find it on Amazon. You could find .com. You could find it in BarnesandNoble.com and select bookstores. You can come to my website, which is Awakenings in Real Life. That has a link to the Amazon site. It also has a lot of information about me. The podcast, and this is, I'm a branding guy, it's also called Awakenings in Real Life. You can find it on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. If you've had an awakening story and you want to share it with me, they can email me at info@awakeningsinreallife.com. I encourage people to reach out. I love to people to reach out. I'd love for you to get the book, and she, you know, and I have these reflection pages where you can write down, again, like I said, your feelings, or share that with me. I'll include it on the website. But I hope it, I think it's some enjoyable stories about my father growing up and different things learned. And you know, you don't have to be someone that goes through Alzheimer's or dementia to enjoy the book. The podcast is just interesting stories. And I thank you, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be
Absolutely.
here and to share where they can find me.
Yeah. Well, Dan, the show is called What Makes You Special, and I knew your story was going to be p packaged a little different than most
Right.
of the people I come on here, and I wanted to give space for that. But the truth is, I think you are incredibly special. So this is the part of the show where I get to say what I think makes you special, and it's not just that you experience something rare. It's that you recognized it for what it was, and that's a gift. And that is a moment that most people will never get. You did not miss it. You held on to it. You turned it into something meaningful. And the fact that you're sharing it with other people, and even just embracing the fact of, I'm going to tell you how important it is to share the stories, all the stories. You were like, I'm not sure if people are interested. Yes, people are interested. Every story you have is going to be a story that touches someone else. So to be able to just steward this message of people not taking real life for granted, let's say the things that we mean now. I love this. You know, sharing this with people so they're not taking their time or their words or their relationships for granted. I think that's powerful. I think that makes you incredibly special. And I think, you know, all of this, what a gift, your family, this experience with your dad. I think it's even in loss, like he's still giving, and you are definitely holding this incredible legacy for him. And I just, what a gift. I think it's beautiful. To everyone listening, you guys, life moves fast, faster than we think, and the people we love won't always be here the way they are right now. So, like Dan said, say the thing, make the call, be present, because you don't always get another moment. And if you do, don't miss that one either. Be present. And please remember that your mess is your message. Even the loss, even the moments that hurt, even the experiences that you didn't understand at the time, that is where meaning is found. So if this episode touched you, please share this with someone who needs it. Okay. Whether it's someone you know that is going through this experience personally with dementia or Alzheimer's, or maybe it's just someone you have that little inkling that they need to slow down and realize that life is happening now. All the magic stuff is here in this present moment. You're going to know people that Dan or I can't reach, okay? So let's help get Dan's message out. Make sure you guys get resourced with his books and his podcast. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Dan, this was a pleasure. Thank you so much for everything you're doing.
I want to thank you so much. And you're special for doing this. I'm flattered by your words. And I respect and admire you for sharing these stories and spreading the word. That's a beautiful thing.
Thank you
Thank you
so
so much
much.
for having me.